live from Atlanta, Georgia. It's the Zach Ballinger Show, where we help you find your direction through passion and purpose. My name is Zach Ballinger. I am your host. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. We've got a very special guest. Two ways you can interact with the show: Zach@ZachBallinger.com. Email me those questions. We'll make sure to get those to our guests as shows populate. Also, we're streaming live via YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube link. You can interact with the show live. Enter those comments into the comment box. We'll make sure to ask our guest today. Bradley, thank you so much for joining the show. We really do appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So Bradley, tell us a little bit about your career. You have an interesting one.
Yeah. So I started my career in management consulting. I was at a boutique agency in the DC area. I was there for about 2 years and then joined Uber in 2014, before Uber was this household name that we have today. I was managing 9 markets for the rides business with Uber based in the DC office. Moved out to Miami after 2 years and launched Uber Eats in Miami and then Milan in Italy. And then moved out to San Francisco with the Uber Freight team, actually launched that business and then managed our carrier operations team for about 2 years there. I left Uber at the end of 2018, went out on my own, started freelance consulting, mostly working with seed and Series A companies, helping them launch and scale their marketplaces, given my Uber Eats and Uber Freight experience specifically, and loved the freelance life, but also saw how challenging it was to find new leads and maintain the back end of my business. So it led me to start Mylance, which is what where I'm running this business today, where we help tech professionals specifically up level and professionalize their freelance businesses. And then we also help with the back end as well with bookkeeping and accounting.
Nice. So what made you transition from, like a lot of people are probably out there listening, Uber is a brand that we all are very well familiar with. So a lot of people would say, why leave it and why go into an unstable where you have to go on your own?
I'll be honest, I was sick of building billion-dollar businesses for someone else. That's really what happened is I felt like I reached a bit of a ceiling. I didn't feel fully valued in what I was doing. And I'd always wanted to work for myself. I think a lot of people share that sentiment of wanting to be on your own. And so it's like, you know what? The worst case scenario is I'll go back and find another job, but I got to at least try to do it on my own. And I had a lot of success.
What is, because I get this from high school students and college students, what is freelance consulting? What does that mean?
I'd say any situation where you're contracting with a company, so you're not an employee, right? You're a 1099, you're contracting with them to offer a service or an expertise. So in my situation, I would advise them on the best way to launch their food delivery marketplace or their how to grow their freight logistics marketplace. So I would work maybe for 10 hours a week, 20 hours a week, and the projects really differed. But the end of the day, it's I'm helping them in a contract capacity and I'm working for myself. So I had my own LLC that I operated under and I contracted directly with the companies to provide value.
And so how does one become a consultant? Because, you know, I think it's kind of difficult because you do have to have an area of expertise. So in other words, you wouldn't want to hire me as a math consultant because I hate math and I can't do it. So there would be no value for a business to hire me as a math consultant. So how does somebody just become a consultant?
In my opinion, I think you do want to go get some experience. And that experience could be figuring something out on your own, right? You could figure out, I'm going to get really good at Facebook ads and I'm going to learn how to do it. I'm experiment with my own Facebook ads. I'll sell t-shirts with Facebook ads. And then I can go consult for another company teaching them how to do Facebook ads. But I do think you need a niche. You need a specialized area of expertise. The only counter argument would be, you know, there's obviously just smart problem solvers out there, right? It's really hard to pitch yourself as that because everyone would say that they're that smart problem solver. So you have no way to differentiate yourself. But if you can get in the door with someone maybe in your network or someone that you know, and then build an expertise as a consultant at a company, you could kind of refine your niche from there. But I would say go get some experience and then go consult after that.
Yeah, I think it's important that we're having this discussion today because, you know, part of my work is encouraging people to find a career they love, or if they're stuck in a career that they don't like, to have a, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 year exit strategy. So maybe they're in a line of work that they don't like particularly right now, or they don't like their company, they don't like their boss. And maybe they do like a particular function, like say they like accounting, or say they like the financial aspect of it. Maybe hone in on those skills right now, make yourself the expert, and see how you can translate that to give advice to a company to make more revenue. Because that's the key, isn't it? I mean, you can't, nobody's going to hire you a consultant if they don't see some type of ROI.
Yeah, I mean, that's, it's spot on, right? And it's not, I get asked a lot, how many years experience do I need to be able to consult? And I don't think it's about years of experience. It's about the specific experience and the accomplishments you've had, right? So when I started pitching myself and getting better at pitching myself, I worked at Uber for almost 5 years, but I pretty much nailed it down to 3 things that I did there, right? I launched Uber Eats in Miami and then Milan, and I launched Uber Freight and ran that team for a few years. And even if I didn't run the team for a few years, it would have been those launches would have been enough credibility to get in the door with a seed stage company that needs to scale their marketplace, and I could help them out. So it wasn't that I was there for 5 years. I almost throw away the first 2 years of my experience because it's really not that differentiated.
You know, you have a neat educational background. What can you walk us through your educational credentials?
Yeah, I went to Duke undergrad and studied mechanical engineering there. I didn't use that at all. It was probably halfway through my undergraduate degree that I realized I didn't want to be an engineer. And the main reason was engineers, professional engineers, they work on one part of one part of one part of the plane, right? And I was like, I want to build the plane. That sounds really cool. But engineers don't do that, right? And so I have a short attention span. I love being involved in various different things. But I also learned that this engineering degree would help get me a job. And that's the end of the day why I stuck with it through the end. So graduated with a degree and it was right. You know, I was able to get a few different job offers graduating from Duke and, you know, jumped into a consulting firm where the projects were short. A lot of consulting firms, you work on a project for 9 months and then move on. These were like 6-week projects. So I got to bounce around different industries and different clients really quickly, learned a lot. And then when I saw a good opportunity come up at Uber, I was able to jump ship and had a pretty good foundation under me, I'd say.
Part of the great show of this, the format of this show, is that it can lead me into things that you say where I hear a lot from students and millennials. And I want to hone in on something that you said because I get it all the time. And this is where I intervene and offer some advice. So you mentioned when you were at Duke, you were in mechanical engineering. What year did you realize that's something you didn't want to do? What year? As far as sophomore, junior, senior?
Yeah, probably towards the end of sophomore year. I'd say 2 years in, I realized, yeah, about 2 years.
And then why did you decide to get your degree instead of changing your major? And I'm going somewhere with this.
There's two parts to it. One is what I mentioned is I knew if I graduated with a degree in engineering, it just held a lot of weight out there, right? It just does. And the other part is I don't like going super deep into one thing. So if I switched over to physics or chemistry or one of the hard sciences that we had to take in engineering, I was going to have to take 10 courses in one field. And frankly, I didn't want to go that deep. I'd rather be more well-rounded as an individual. And the mechanical engineering degree specifically affords that.
So this is the reason I asked that. I had a student the other day who was a junior in engineering school, says that this is not something I want to do. Do I change my major and start over again? And I said, well, it depends on what your specific goal is. My advice would be to finish your 4-year degree, because most people out there are not working with their 4-year degree in the field they have. And if they are, it's very rare, and things you're doing in school changes over from the industry. And second of all, like, you may not have your passion really nailed down in college. You may think you have an idea of it, but why not go ahead and finish your degree and then start it in the marketplace? You're a prime example of that. I think that instead of for you backtracking and saying, okay, I'm going to throw out all my work that I did through, I can finish this degree. I can make something, make the most out of it, because an engineering degree is very marketable in the marketplace. I mean, there's, I mean, you could do sales with an engineering degree. So it's a very versatile degree. So that's why I really wanted to hone in on. I think you did a great job of judgment and decision making. Did it ever enter your mind to switch? Did you have those thoughts where some of my students are out there like contemplating on changing their majors?
It honestly never occurred to me. It was because I still enjoyed the process of being an engineer, really, right? It is about problem solving. I'm a very logical person. It made a lot of sense to me. I took a few other classes, you know, psychology or philosophy, and it's just those things, learning the theories. You know, I took a psychology class in how the brain works, and the class was 20 theories in how the brain works, right? I don't want theories. I wanted to learn. Tell me how it works, right? And engineering does that with, you know, with how they teach it. So, I know I never considered going back, and I just knew if I graduated with it, it would set me up for success.
Awesome. Now, what do you, so as far as your job now, you mentioned that you work with freelance consultants about getting them started or up and running, or you offer them services. What does a day look like for you?
Oh man. I mean, there's so many parts to running a business. You know this, I'm sure. And it's for people that aren't, you have your internal things going on. You have to manage your team and basic legal, accounting, just getting the foundation of your business in a healthy spot. And then it's setting up specific funnels. For example, I'm working a lot on the marketing side right now. So how do we acquire customers when someone comes to our website? So I'm, you know, I will sit down tangibly and think through the customer journey and write out what are the steps they go through and what emails do they need to receive and what does it look like from a customer perspective. And then it's a lot of meetings, and my meetings are with potential customers, my meetings are with investors, my meetings are internally with our team, my meetings with other entrepreneurs that are in maybe the similar space that I can learn from. We're interviewing people for the team. So it's a lot.
Now, if somebody's out there and they may be a millennial and they think they've got a particular set of skills, sound like the movie Taken, but they have a particular set of skills that they believe that could be valuable to a company. Is that what your business, can you help them, or is that somebody else?
Yeah, that's exactly who we help. So it's someone with a decent set of experience or skill set, and they're really good in that area, right? Whether it's marketing or software engineering or sales. And at the end of the day, they don't know how to position themselves, like kind of package that experience so that they can go to that Series A company and say, hey, you know, hire me for 25 hours a week. So we help them with packaging that experience, setting your rate, negotiating good deals, scoping a project, the legal contracts. And a big part that people don't really talk about as much is the imposter syndrome of, I feel like I have these good skills, but can I really do it? You know, do I really have the confidence to go to this company and ask for $200 an hour? And we really help give you that confidence so that you can do it.
Imagine a part of it is what they call the pitch. So if you ever watched the Shark Tank, you'd be very familiar with that. But it's basically what you're going to tell the company in a short amount of time, why they should hire you, what value you bring, and what set of skills differentiate you from everybody else. So do you work with them on their pitches as well?
So yes, but we actually think about it on the flip side, really, where if I get on the call with you, Zach, and I'm trying to get hired at your company, I'll give a quick intro that validates me, right? We work on that validation, really 2 or 3 sentences max. But then what we do is we have you ask great questions about your company in my area of expertise. And that actually does 2 things. One, it continues to validate me because I'm asking great questions. You're like, oh, this guy knows what he's talking about. But 2, I'm learning all about your company. So when I need to send over a proposal to say, hey, Zach, we should work together in the following ways, you're like, oh, he gets it. He understands our company problems. He knows where he can add value. Like, this is perfectly aligned. Let's hire him. So we actually have them do a lot more listening and a lot less pitching.
It's pretty awesome. I think if people out there, will let you share your links in a minute. But, you know, certainly for people that are interested in the consulting realm, I think your service would be really well paired with what they're doing. I'm actually so glad that we connected and got you on the show because, like I said, I do have a lot of people even asking me, what does consulting even mean? So I think people are trying to figure this out. A big way that I try to explain it is almost like if a lot of people are familiar with the Fiverr service where there's digital marketing, where you can buy things off there for your marketing. And it's almost where they're running their own digital marketing service. But this is more like offering a specific company this amount, and then you get paid on a contract. So it's pretty cool. Bradley, what did you dream about being career-wise when you were in second, third, fourth, or fifth grade? Obviously, I hope it's not consulting. Please say no.
Yeah, I don't know what consulting was back then.
But what was your dream career?
Yeah, I wanted to be a hockey player. I was big into sports growing up. I loved playing hockey. And of course, I had no idea what that actually would mean if I were a hockey player. And I also grew up in South Florida, so that pretty much made no sense. But yeah, I wanted to be a hockey player.
Kind of neat how you think of the sports analogies, because I always challenge people to look back at their dreams and maybe they can pull away certain skills or traits, quantities, qualities. And in sports, it's a competitive environment. And I would say that's the same thing for freelance consulting. There's a lot of companies out there competing. And so you're trying to ultimately win that prize, if you will. And so it's kind of cool that you said, you're a sports fan. So I'm assuming you want to win in things. So it kind of translates. I can kind of see it there. So it's pretty cool. What motivates you? What gets you going? Why are you excited about this particular job?
Yeah, I genuinely thrive off of helping people. And I found this when I was early at Uber. A lot of my job was, frankly, answering driver emails. And, you know, people would say, oh, that's such a horrible job. And we hated it. We would, have driver email parties to get through them all. But for me, it was really therapeutic in a way, because, you know, Uber gets a bad rap, but we helped so many people live a flexible, fulfilling life by being able to drive on their own terms. And maybe it was a single mom or a disabled vet. So I really saw how much I loved helping people then. And when I started freelance consulting, I had some friends and colleagues reach out about, you know, hey, how are you doing this? You know, I was working 25 hours a week. I was making 20 grand a month. It was really great. And I started helping them. And I said, hey, I'll help you. I'll help you with your pitch. I'll help you set your rate. I'll help you find clients. And one thing led to another. And that's, you know, I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur and found a business, but I didn't want to just have any good business idea and just build a big company based on an opportunity. It had to be something I really cared about, right? Because we only get so many opportunities in our lives to build something. So, so that's why I picked this. It's really to help people live that flexible life where they can, spend more time with their family or pursue that passion of theirs, or start that side business they've always wanted to. I mean, consulting helped me start Mylance, right? I was able to fund my life and fund a business through my consulting work, which is pretty amazing. So if I can help other people do that too, then, you know, it's amazing for me.
That's pretty awesome. Thanks for sharing that. So where can people find your services? So let's say they're out there. They maybe want to follow your journey either on social media, or they would want to get directly connected with you. How do they do that?
Two ways. Follow me on LinkedIn. That's really where I post the most, a few times a week, about experiences I've had consulting or really about Mylance. I share a lot of what we're learning as a startup founder on LinkedIn. So Bradley Jacobs on LinkedIn. And then come to our website and sign up for our newsletter. So the website is mylance.co. And you can sign up for our newsletter. If you're interested, you can apply for the bootcamp or apply for our community as well. But we're keeping up to date, obviously, our newsletter customers on what's going on, all things Mylance.
It's awesome. Let's answer some of these questions that have popped in the comment box and that have come in on email. It says, do consultants focus on multiple areas? I think I'm good at different areas in my skill set, or do they hone in on one particular skill?
I mean, they do everything. I would highly recommend honing in on a particular skill, right? Because if I go to you and say, oh, I'm an SEO consultant or I'm a marketing consultant, you're going to be like, I have no idea what you can actually do. And there's about 10 million people out there that are also marketing consultants, right? But if you go to someone and say, I really increase your e-commerce business ROI 1,000% through Facebook targeting and Google ads, then I know what you do and whether you're a good fit for my business or not. So I would say go super niche. You can't go too niche, frankly. You'll differentiate yourself. You'll be in the top of your specific niche, and you'll get a much higher rate than just saying, oh, I'm a marketing consultant.
Thank you. And the next question comes in. It says, can you share a success story, one of the best that you've had since you founded your company, on someone that was hesitant to go out on their own to be a consultant that you turned around and now they're successful in consulting?
Yeah, one of our first customers came to us. He got laid off at Uber and wasn't really sure what he wanted to do. He was actually an SEO consultant. And I got him into the June bootcamp, June of last year. And he was just really, he was really talented. But again, he was an SEO consultant. Like, how do you differentiate yourself from the 10,000 people on Upwork or Fiverr? And so we worked with him really how to hone his niche and present himself as a really enterprise SEO consultant. And he ended up going out there and finding Spotify actually as a client. And it was one of those success stories where he's so thankful for us and I'm so thankful for him. You know, he posts us about us on LinkedIn and on his channels about his experience with Mylance and how helpful we were. And he's really made it work. He's incredibly happy with what he's doing now and gets to work for the largest music streaming service in the world. So, pretty amazing.
The next question comes in. How do you determine how much to charge somebody hourly for consulting? It's kind of confusing because we don't know I don't know how much my service is worth to them.
So we have a rate calculator that we use for our bootcamp customers, and we're essentially, you know, I can go through it, but essentially you're looking at what would be a good full-time salary that you'd want, right? Not just something that would be average, it's something that would be really great. Divide that by the number of hours essentially that you'd work. So you can just put in 40, make it simple, per week, and then add on a buffer. So we add on 40% at Mylance. I mean, as a consultant, you have health insurance, you have extra taxes, you have probably, you know, bookkeeper, all that kind of stuff. So add on 40%. Also, they're not paying you benefits, so it'll be cheaper for them anyway. And that'll come out with an hourly rate. And it's kind of a loaded question that I could go on for a while of how much to charge, but get to something that you feel comfortable with is really what I tell people. Like, make sure it passes the sniff test for you. And if you go in with a certain number and they say yes immediately, you didn't ask for high enough. Like, you're trying to get to that no. And I know it may feel uncomfortable, but you're really trying to get to that no. And they're not going to laugh you out of the room. They'll just say no, like, no matter what you come back with. And if they say no, you did a good job. And then let them counter next is the biggest thing I'd say.
I like the calculator too. It gives some people where to start. You know, a lot of people don't even know where to begin, but I think you also have to look at it, and you're obviously the expert on this. I'm just thinking out loud, but you have to also take in consideration what a business brings in as far as their net profit. You know, if a business is bringing in $40,000 a year for net profit and they're a lawn care business, then if you're consulting in horticulture, you're not going to be charging them $500 an hour because obviously they only make $40,000 a year. So it has to be kind of compensated with, I'm sure, of how large the company is, first of all, and how much money they're currently making. And then probably, and like I said, I'm the expert, so you can tell me when I'm wrong, but like also you want to get them to the certain point of profit making. So if you're a horticulture expert, you want to grow a lawn care business and you're like, well, I can grow you 5%. It's not really worth it for them to pick you as a consultant. Is that kind of, I know it's a simplified answer, but.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you have to, of course, take into account their situation. And we work a lot with funded companies, right? So if I go into a company before they've gotten any fundraising and it's the same kind of situation, ask for $500 an hour, it's not even close, right? So yeah, always ask, like, do you have a budget for this? Or ask about their funding or profit situation. And if you really need to, you can always align your performance with their performance. So in that case, you know, maybe I can grow the business 20%, I can add another $10,000 a month to their revenue. Give me 15% of that since I helped you get there, right? You could do something like that on top. I wouldn't do that as the only comp, but you can add that on top.
Yeah, I think for even if you look at in my area, about a lot of people asked about professional speaking or motivational speaking. They said the first question is how much do you charge, Zach? And, you know, you always ask the question is what your budget is and what you can offer to people. And so, like you said, if it's a nonprofit organization where people are raising money for children's cancer awareness, obviously they're going to have a tiny budget. Probably. So right. You got to keep that in mind. And then how philanthropy works if you want to provide a different service. Or, you know, let's say Charles Schwab comes to me and says, hey, I'd like you to speak at our sales meeting. Well, obviously, you know, you can do some simple Googling to realize those speakers are making a prime profit for them coming in. So you would obviously wouldn't charge $500 for the whole thing. So you want to make sure. Plus, I think that, Bradley, that kind of stands out, too, is if you're the expert. And like I said, you got this big company and you're like the speaking event and you're like, well, I only charge $200. They're like, OK, then he or she must not be that great then. So I think we kind of align in as far as the speaking world as well. Go ahead. Okay. Do you want have anything to put?
No, I think the cancer situation is a really good one because, you know, if that's a cause that you really care about, right, maybe you totally reduce your rate or you speak for free just because that's something that's you're passionate about, right? So there can't just be a rule of thumb. It's maybe I love working with this company, so I'll work with them for a much cheaper rate. But yeah, if Schwab asks me, you know, their bank, they don't need my help, right? They make billions of dollars a year in profit. Then yeah, they need to pay me. Otherwise I'm not going to do it. Right. So right. I think, yeah, you got to decide depending on the situation, of course.
Well, Bradley, this has been great. You know, my audience has learned a lot. I've wanted someone like you to come on for a long time, just because we get the consultants, freelancers, people want to go on their own to do business. I think your interview was very informative. I think a lot of people will really love it. Thank you so much again. One more time where they can find you on your website.
Yeah, go to mylance.co, sign up for our newsletter, apply for our bootcamp. I respond individually to most people still. So feel free to check us out at mylance.co, and I look forward to hearing from you.
Thanks, Bradley. Have a great day. We really appreciate you.
You got it. You too. Thanks, Zach.
Take care.